Hello, everyone, and welcome to Philosophy and Fiction in Modern Spain. I'm Dr. Todd Mack from Hillsdale College, and today is Thursday, February 7th, 2019. Today I'll be discussing Chapter 1 of José Ortega y Gasset's book, The Revolt of the Masses, in Spanish called La Rebelión de las Masas. The Revolt of the Masses was published originally in 1929 by José Ortega y Gasset, and in it, Ortega is he's trying to kind of diagnose what he sees as a big problem. And he starts, this is chapter one, it's called the Fact of the Agglomerations or something like that, El Hecho de las Aglomeraciones. And he starts out by saying this: there's a fact that, for good or ill, is the most important in European public life today. This fact is the arrival of the masses to complete social power. And the masses, because the masses, by definition, cannot, should not, nor can they direct their own existence, and even less that of society, we could say that Europe is suffering now from the greatest crisis that any nation can suffer from. This crisis has come from, it's happened more than one time in history, and its character is known, and its consequences, and its name is also known. It's called the Revolt of the Masses. So what's he saying here? Now, the biggest criticism, I think, of this book of Ortega's, is that at times it sounds really elitist, and you know, when he says things like the masses can't even direct their own existence, much less that of society, it sounds like he's being really condescending towards people who are uneducated or something. I think his argument is more complex and nuanced than that. And it comes out when he starts to talk about what he means by the masses. And so he sets up a dichotomy between what he calls the majority or the masses, and then what he calls the minority, or sometimes he calls it the select minority or the select man. So you have the mass man and the select man, or the majority man and the minority man. And what does he mean by these two things? So he says this: when I talk about select minorities, the usual and wrong, evil way of twisting this tries to ignore the fact that the select man, the problem is that people think that the select man is the petulant one who thinks he's better than everybody else. And he says that's not the case. The people who are select are the ones who demand more of themselves than other people, even if they don't achieve their own superior demands. And he says it's undoubtable that the most radical division that there exists in humanity is between these two classes of people: those who demand a lot of themselves and thus accumulate lots of trials but also responsibilities, and those who don't demand anything of themselves except to live in every instance as they always have been, without any desire to perfect themselves in any way. They're just like buoys out on the, floating aimlessly. So that's the difference that he's talking about. He's not talking about educated people and non-educated people, or rich people and poor people. He's talking about there are people who, for one reason or another, they seem to demand a lot of themselves, and they're trying to be better. And there are a bunch of other people who don't seem to be very interested in making themselves better in any way. And that's the difference between the minority and the majority. There's nothing else, he says, that makes the minority people minority people. And they don't share anything in common in class or race or education or gender or religion. It's just the fact that these people have something that they care about. They have ideas, they have ideals, and they see themselves as more than just a regular person. They see themselves as something special, something that has value, and that they're striving to perfect themselves in some way. So if you're a farmer and you're working really hard to do the very best that you can at farming, then you're in the minority, says Ortega, because most people, he says, don't really care that much. They're just interested in kind of being a regular guy and going out and doing what they need to do. And he says, it's not a problem that the masses exist. The problem, he says, is that they want to be in control. And so he says this, there are in society operations, activities, and functions of the most diverse kinds that, because of their very nature, which is their specialized nature, they can't be executed without also special talents or gifts. For example, certain kinds of artistic pleasures, or those of the government or politics, people that are in charge of the activities surrounding public life, they've usually been exercised by people who have some skill in that area. So a politician works hard and puts in a lot of time and effort to understanding how the government works, and then goes and sort of moves up the ranks in politics. A musician learns about music and then works on his or her craft for a long time and gets really good at it. And then we look at those people and we say, man, that person is amazing. Listen to Beethoven's symphonies. Beethoven worked really, really, really hard to get to where he was. And Ortega says, you know, that's a good thing. It's a good thing to have people at the top of important fields for us who have made big sacrifices and have spent the time to develop themselves and their craft to a point where they're the best. And the problem with the revolt of the masses is not that the masses exist. It's not even that the masses are interested in politics or art or religion or music. He says the problem is that when the masses revolt, they want to take over everything, and that's a big problem. So he'll say, he closes this chapter by saying, the characteristic thing of the moment is that the vulgar soul, and by vulgar he means this mass man, people who don't seem to be interested in perfecting themselves in any meaningful way. These people, knowing that they're mass people, that they're empty vessels, have the guts to affirm their right to vulgarity, and this is the important part, that they want to impose it everywhere. That's the problem. The problem is not that that people are different. The problem is that there is a big mass of people, says Ortega, who all are the same in the fact that they just don't care. They don't care about life. They don't have dreams. They don't have ambitions. They're not interested really in anything that has historically been viewed as meaningful. And they want to run the show. He says, the mass destroys anything that is different, egregious, individual, qualified, and select. Whoever is not like everyone else, whoever doesn't think like everyone else, runs the risk of being eliminated. And it's clear that this everyone else is not really everyone else. Everyone else is really, used to be, everyone else used to be this complex unity of the mass and the select. But now, everyone else is only the mass. So he's saying this is a dangerous place to head as a society, where not only are there lots of people who don't have really much ambition, and not just ambition, but the right kind of ambition, the kind of ambition that says, I have ideals, I have a compass, I'm being guided by purpose, my life has purpose, I'm moving in a direction, I'm developing talents and I'm developing expertise in a certain area, but really, I'm not an empty vessel. I'm full, and I'm really trying to be the best that I can be. And the problem is that when the masses take over, that they can't abide that. It's like C.S. Lewis in there's a letter call or a little essay that C.S. Lewis wrote. It's often like an epilogue to the Screwtape letters. It's called Screwtape Proposes a Toast. And it's where he talks about education. And he says, he gives this example of this tyrant who somebody goes out and they say, oh, tyrant, how are you able to keep all of your people under your thumb? And he says, well, let me show you. And he goes out and they go out to this field and there's like wheat growing or something. And the worker's job is to cut anything that pokes up, even just a little bit, so that everything will be completely uniform. And this is what worries Ortega, is this forced uniformity of society where everybody has to agree on everything. And what we get when that happens is a society that has lost its desire, where the people have lost their desire to become better and to be led by people who are really good at their job. Everybody's in favor of elitism, like in sports, right? So nobody would want to go watch me play in the Super Bowl because that would be terrible. It would be so boring. People want to go watch Tom Brady because he's the best. It seems like there are some areas of life, and I agree with Ortega on this, seems like there are some areas of life where we no longer value expertise. We no longer value people who have really put in the time to master their craft. I showed my students this video of Josh Bell in the subway in New York. He's a world-class violinist, and he went and started playing in the subway. And for hours and hours and hours, people walked by him and totally ignored this amazing, amazing world-class musician who was playing, you know, really, really beautiful music. And I asked my students, you know, if this was, I don't know, Taylor Swift singing, do you think that everybody would walk by and not know? So all we did in class today really was just set up what Ortega's problem is. We're gonna move forward and read a couple of other chapters from the book just to sort of get an idea of where he's headed. It seems interesting to me that in the society that we're living in right now, there is this kind of rise of populism. And we started this semester by reading Maragall, who says, you should listen to the common man, because there's a lot of wisdom in the earth and in being close to the earth and nature, and especially in the words that we use, and our ability to speak truth is tied, to nature and sort of simplicity. And I don't think that Ortega is arguing against that. But what he does seem to be arguing against is the celebration of sort of the emptiness, like the emotional and mental, spiritual emptiness of society. And he says that will lead us down a path in which we have leaders who are not good at what they do. And not only are they not good at what they do, but they're also disinterested in the world. And they either have no interest at all, or they're so hyper specialized, and this is what we'll get to in the next time for the next chapter. So hyper specialized in one area that they exclude interest in everything else, and they become disconnected from the world. Remember, we talked last time about yo soy yo y mis circunstancias, I am myself and my circumstances, and how important for Ortega it is for everything to be connected. And so to be part of the minority, not only do you have to be developing yourself, developing your craft, have some desire and some purpose, but you also have to be aware of what's going on around, connected to the world in meaningful ways. And this is something that seems to be lacking in Ortega's time in 1925. And Ortega says, you know, this is it didn't only happen in the early 20th century. It's happened before, and it always bodes poorly for the society. And you know, it doesn't mean that everything's going to end in revolution and bloodshed, but I think it is important. And as individuals, I don't think that we're ever. I don't think that we're ever all the way one thing or the other. I think that we can move back and forth between these things. So there are some days when I feel pretty, you know, like a masked man. I just want to like get through the day. And I'm sure you've probably had days like that too, where you wake up and you're not like full of ambition and I'm going to perfect myself. You're just like, I need to get to work and I need to, you know, like make sure my house doesn't burn down. And then the night comes and you're like, I just need to watch a show on Netflix and go to bed. And there are days like that. I think there are days like that probably for pretty much everybody. But there are people who wake up in the morning and they think, you know what? I think I can do better. I think I can do better than what I am. And they exercise and they study something and they have interests, hobbies, or talents that they're developing. And they have something that they're looking at and striving for, and that's really it's really important for Ortega, and I think it's important in society in general to have a good, strong group of society where there are people who have their own interests and they're moving forward in positive, like pro-social ways. And I think it's dangerous to live in a society where the majority of people, not only is the majority of people kind of emotionally empty, aimless, doesn't really have a lot to look for or look forward to or strive for, but also that they expect for everyone else to be like that. And if there is somebody who's different, if there is somebody with vision or talent or a different way of seeing the world, then those people represent a threat and they must be eliminated. That's not a great place to be as a society. That's it for now. Thanks for listening. If you find the show helpful, I encourage you to go to anchor.fm/beginningspanish and offer a monthly donation. That's also where you can find links to anything I've talked about in the show. Don't forget to subscribe in your podcast app of choice, and please recommend this show to your friends. Please feel free to reach out with questions or feedback by finding me on Twitter at Todd K. Mack or emailing me at tmack@hillsdale.edu. You can also go to toddkmack.com to find a list of all of my shows. This semester, I have one on beginning Spanish and one on the hero's journey in Masterpieces of Film. Until next time, so long.